Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new message series, Don't Blink. But first, here's his message, How to Live in the Last Days.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, every time you see a therefore in Scripture, ask what it is there for, because you're about to read application. If you see a therefore in Scripture, think application. So here comes the application. The application of what? That Christ has come. He's died. He's lived again. He is raised from the dead. He has ascended on high. Therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh. Arm yourselves, which means prepare yourself for battle, with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh. You have the rest of your life. So the rest of your life as a follower of Christ, we don't have time to live in the world. We don't have time to live in the dissipation and the debauchery of the world and living for the flesh, but rather no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Now watch this. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. That's a good word, isn't it? That's probably not a word you're going to use at the office tomorrow describing your office. But God uses it describing the sensual passions of the world. Debauchery. Boy, that's a good word. And they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. There is a judgment coming. And the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. So verse 7 says it well. The end of all things is at hand. Getting closer and closer and closer. Therefore, what's coming? Application. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Peter actually gives about 10 staccato-like commandments as to how we are to live in the last days. Now, we're not going to cover all 10. In fact, I'm just going to deal with one of these. But to summarize, what we're to do as we live in the last days, we're told in the Scripture that we're to keep our heads clear, be sober-minded, of good judgment, active in prayer, and to keep our hearts warm, stretched out in love. Keep on loving one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. And then he goes on to say, keep your hands busy. And he speaks of the spiritual gifts that God has given us that we are to exercise in ministry, because we know the time is short, because we know that Jesus is coming soon. It's not that we buy ascension robes and wait on a hill somewhere for him to come. No, we roll up our sleeves and dirty our hands in service, stretching out in love, utilizing and exercising our spiritual gifts in ministry and service to Christ. So keep your head clear, keep your heart warm, and keep your hands busy. Let's focus just on one thing today. Keep your head clear. He says, be sober. Be of sound judgment. Now, to be sober, that doesn't mean walking around with a sour face and a bad attitude. We've seen enough of that representing our faith. No, to be sober literally means to be of good mind, of sound mind and judgment. And in the midst of these perilous times, these times that are perishing, in the midst of all of this, it is a sobering thought that God is going to judge the world, that the world is perishing in its wickedness. That's a sobering thought. A great, great tribulation is coming. Described in the Bible as the time of Jacob's trouble, when all hell will be unleashed upon the earth. It's in that great tribulation that the Antichrist will be revealed. We're not expected to be there. I believe that God has planned an exit strategy for believers. Now, believers go through tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we have tribulation of pains, of problems, of difficulties. We all have tribulations in life. But there is coming to the world a great judgment, a great tribulation, the wrath of God upon the world and the worldlings. And we won't be here. I believe very strongly that Christ is coming for his people and that we will be translated into the very presence of the Lord. We will be raptured out of sight into the presence of God. True believers, therefore, should be waiting and walking and working for him. Jesus put it this way: there will be two working in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. There will be two grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. There will be two sleeping in the bed. One will be taken and one will be left. That's a description of God's exit strategy for believers. And then the world will get what it's always wanted: life without God. And the judgment comes and the great tribulation is on. You know, really, it's your attitude towards the suddenness and the soonness of the coming of Christ that really is a gauge of your spiritual temperature, if you think about it. If you're walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit, growing as a believer, progressing in your Christian life, we ought to be living on tiptoe with expectancy, longing for, looking towards, loving the appearing of our Savior. And if you have that sense and sensibility and mindset about you, then that's a good gauge of your spiritual walk and that you are progressing and that you're going in the right direction. On the other hand, there are people, including believers, who never think about it, never contemplate eternity or the second coming of Christ or the urgency of our times. And there are carnal believers living in worldliness, living in their own sin, connected, still connected to the world. And when Jesus comes, they're going to be ashamed at his coming. And therefore, they dread the coming of Christ or don't even bother to think about it. But I'm saying to you that your attitude, your mindset, your sobriety concerning the second coming of Christ is really a good gauge of where you are spiritually and what's going on in your heart as you live for Christ or don't live for Christ. You know, when Jesus saves us, he puts us in our right mind. Remember that man of the Gadarenes, filled with demon spirits? He was living in the tombs, naked, screaming. He was a madman. Jesus passed by, he begged and for healing and restoration, and Jesus cast out those demons. And this man, who was known by everyone in that city as this crazed, maniacal figure living out in the tombs, the last scene, he's sitting fully clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. You see, this mad world in which we live is so crazy for its sin, so caught up in its sin and in its sensuality, that its own sin, the demons, the powers of evil control us and grip us outside of Christ. But when we come to Christ, we're changed, we're clothed in the and sitting before Christ in our right minds. Sin is spiritual insanity. It is insane to rebel against a holy God. And so God gives us a right mind, a sound mind, a sane mind, a sober mind. And therefore, we're to come out of the world. We are to be different than the world. No longer living for these passions that may have been in our past, but now living for the glory in the grace of God. The Bible commands it. And the Spirit empowers it. And the world expects it. And the church needs it. God's people to come out, to disconnect from the world, to be sober and balanced, clear-headed, not air-headed, not caught up in the things of this world that are so devouring and distracted. When he uses the word sober here, of course it can be compared to drunkenness. Someone who is sober is not under the influence or not drunken. The Bible strictly forbids drunkenness. It's a command of God. And I am totally and completely opposed to alcohol, because I have seen what it does to people's lives, to their families, to our friends, to our culture. Can you imagine? Let me just dream here a little bit. Can you imagine how much better off we would be without alcohol in our world? It looks so cool. It looks so attractive. You know, I've never drank alcohol. You know, it never appealed to me. But you know, you go out to the, even to a ball game, and you know, guys, gals are passing around the booze and the beer, drinking up, seemingly they're having a great time. How can you go to a ball game and, you know, not have a beer or two, they think? And then they've got these pretty little drinks. You know, I guess they're margaritas. I don't know what they are, but they bring them, you know, they're red and yellow and rainbow looking, and they got little umbrellas in them, and they look so good. You know, like a big dish of ice cream. And yet, in the end, it stings like a serpent and bites like an adder.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, How to Live in the Last Days. Sexual identity, racism, the sanctity of life, these are some of the hot-button topics in our culture that Christians are called to address. And in his brand new series, Don't Blink, Dr. Graham shows you how to stare down the enemy's lies and stand firm for God's truth as it relates to the current culture. Don't Blink is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, How to Live in the Last Days.
I know when I start talking like this, there's some people who think, well, you're just way too restrictive. We are to practice a principle called separation from the world. Now, I can make you a case for biblical abstinence from the Bible. People ask me, well, isn't there alcohol in the Bible? Of course there is. But the alcohol used in the Scripture is not anything to be compared with the kind of alcohol, the drug of choice of today. But be that as it may, while drunkenness is forbidden, that's a commandment, and frankly, most people drink for a little buzz of some kind. While drunkenness is forbidden, abstinence from the use of alcohol is a spiritual principle of separation, of being unique, of being different, of separating. It's a good judgment. It is a sober judgment. I've been a pastor too long to see the results, the devastation of alcohol, to in any way be for it or to turn my head while lives are being destroyed. Think about all the people killed on our highways as a result of drinking, driving under the influence. And just think about the moral influence and impact alcohol and its use is upon our young people as well as adults. unwanted pregnancies. About 67% of unwanted pregnancies are related to the abuse and use of alcohol. 90% of date rapes on college campuses, alcohol is involved. Among teenagers who have their first sexual experiences, over 50% of these, alcohol is involved. The loosening, the laxness of our morality. You say, well, what about liberty, Pastor? I'm free in Christ. Well, yes, you are. But there is a greater law than the law of liberty, and it is the law of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And you need to know that people are watching you and me. I can't tell you how many times that I've dealt with families because husbands and wives, moms and dads thought it convenient and casual and social to drink, and their kids end up in rehab. It's happened again and again. You can handle it, but your kids can't. And what did Jesus say? He said it would be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the sea than to hinder one of my little ones. I don't want to hinder a weaker brother or sister. I don't want to hinder someone from following Christ. I don't want my witness to be skewed because of what I do. In any way, we are being watched. What about your testimony? What about your witness? Be sober. Make good decisions. Look, I don't want to be under the influence of anything but Jesus. So as Christians, we don't make decisions just for ourselves. We make decisions based upon glorifying God in the best way possible, not at the lowest common denominator, just keeping it down there as low as we can, but we want to rise in our expectations and in our standards. And may God help us to do it. I don't want my mind numbed or clouded or confused in these uncertain days. I don't want to be intoxicated by the spirit of this age. And that is what Peter is telling us here. Be sober, be of sound judgment, that you may be active in prayer. And the way to be of sober and sound mind and judgment is to be active in prayer. And that's why we need to think properly. Because it's the mind that Satan can use to distort and destroy. Internet pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. Pornography today is not a Playboy under your mattress. But it is so available and so accessible by the click of a computer. And while there are, of course, many good things, wonderful things related to the internet, it can and has become, in many cases, because of internet pornography, a window into hell. A window into hell. With all of its debauchery and raunchiness and filthiness. A window into hell. And our moral strength is diminished every time we compromise. You say, well, I can look at a little of that and it doesn't bother me. Well, then you're either no man or a superman. Don't tell me that doesn't bother you. And I can point you to so many families that have been destroyed and lives that have been devoured by the enemy because people are out of their minds, absolutely crazed by sensuality and sexuality and sin. And that's the times in which we live. It's just getting worse and worse and more debauched and more depraved. And don't expect it to get better. The ugly, dark secret is it's not going to get better for our kids and our grandkids because this is the pace. The end is nearing. All things are about to be fulfilled. And God's going to come in Christ and judge the world. And you know, so many Christians are confused today. There's so much shallowness rather than sameness in the minds of Christians. We run to the nearest fad, to the latest book, but Christians are so confused and caught up in this craziness and this world of Oprah's religion and New Age ideas and making God more like us rather than our becoming more like Him. And Christians are duped into all of this. Where is our discernment? Where is the clear thinking of believers? Why is it that we of all people don't love and know the Word of God and protect ourselves and arm ourselves in the battle against sin and stupidity? May God help us. And why do we do this? Why do we do this? Peter tells us why at the end of verse 11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. The reason we separate, the reason we come out from the world and are separate, the reason we make good decisions about our lifestyle and our behavior patterns, the things we put on our body, the things we put in our bodies, the reason we do this is because we want to glorify God and magnify Jesus in our lives. That's why. It's not about me. It's about Him. No wonder the scripture says, set your affections not on things below, but on things above. Now, we've all heard the old cliche, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I've met a lot of people who are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good, and are so earthly minded, they're no earthly good. But the Bible says that our eye is to be upon the Christ who is coming again, that we are to love His appearing, that we are to come up into the presence of God, that we are to set our affections on things above and not on things below, that our heart, the habit of our heart should be heaven itself, that we should be so in love with Jesus that we are looking for His appearing. And while we wait, we are keeping our head clear and we are keeping our hearts warm, loving one another and stretching out in compassion to one another, helping people to come to Jesus, because love covers a multitude of sin. And then we are to exercise our spiritual gifts in service and ministry, in the ministry and the work of His church, all to glorify God, all to magnify His name. So wrapping this up, the end is nearing. The fulfillment of all things is at hand. Christ is coming soon. And should Christ delay in His coming, you only have a certain amount of time on this earth anyway. And life is passing so rapidly. Jesus is coming. Are you ready for His appearing? Are you living for Him in the light of a clear head and a warm heart and hands that are serving Him?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, How to Live in the Last Days. Our world is full of chaos and confusion, moral and spiritual darkness. What it needs to see is bold faith from followers of Christ. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his new 5-message series, Don't Blink. This series tackles some of the most pressing issues our culture is facing today and shows how the Bible offers the answers our world so desperately needs. Don't Blink is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Okay, Scott, well, today I want to take a little piece out of this message, which is very sensitive, a very sensitive subject, but one that needs to be talked about more and more among God's people. So in the remaining time that we have, I want to talk to you about internet pornography. More than likely, your life has been affected in some way by internet pornography, either directly or indirectly. And perhaps you would even have to confess today that you struggle with this issue in your very life, that you have been viewing pornography on the internet, and you know that this does not honor God, that it is destructive in your own life, your family, your marriage, your own personal well-being. You know this does not belong in your life. So if this is so, I want to remind you of a couple of things today in closing. One, you're not alone. And two, there is hope. There is hope because the Lord Jesus Christ can free you from the bondage of any unholy, unhealthy habit in your life, including pornography. But it's going to take action on your part, deliberate, intensive action that you may experience freedom and healing. Maybe the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Maybe you've been trying to justify this or say that it's really not that big a deal. But in fact, you are addicted to porn. You have a problem in your life, and you have a sinful behavior that needs to be dealt with very severely. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins, not only to God, but we are to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." So maybe what you need to do is to confess your sins to other believers. Maybe it means seeking a Bible-based recovery program like one we have here in our church in Dallas called Celebrate Recovery. There are many opportunities today for you to get the help you need with Christians who will not condemn you but will help you through your problem. Remember, your struggle with sin doesn't totally define you and who you are as a child of God. But at the same time, you need to truly experience His grace, His power to change your life, and the freedom from the sin that will destroy your life and everything that's good about your life. God has made available through Jesus Christ hope and help. So seek Him and seek those who will help you who know Him.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's brand new 5-message series, Don't Blink, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can stand for Christ in a world that stands against Him. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.